F. Scott Fitzgerald said that the test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposing ideas in the mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function. And I love this because how many of us live in sort of a black and white type thinking? Like everything's binary, it's right or it's wrong, and there's just nothing in between. And I think if you can hold two opposing ideas in your mind at the same time, what you can do is over time come to reconcile them in a way that works for you. And today I'm going to talk you through exactly how I do that with ambition. Okay. There's the main view of ambition, and then there's how I view ambition or how I've reconciled these two things. Because traditionally, it's a good thing for a young man to be ambitious. Generally speaking, that's how it's perceived in our society. We want our young men to be ambitious and driven and success oriented and all that good stuff. So it's really viewed positively, especially in relation to being goal oriented. Like if you're someone who's just always striving, you know, like you have a goal and you stick to it and you're persevering and you're seeing it through and with all the difficulties that come your way, you know, and just like if you're ambitious, almost to the point of neurosis, where you're like neurotically chasing goals and blocking out everything else, it's generally viewed as positive, or just like that's what ambitious people do. And this has always been rough for me because I'll be honest with you, I tend to not perform as well when I have a fixed goal. When I'm really stuck on a goal, my rigidity increases. The rigidity in my thinking increases, and my open-mindedness decreases. My ability to be flexible decreases. And, you know, sometimes when I set out and I'm like, hey, I think I want to accomplish X, Y, and Z goal over here, I might change my mind. I might get down the path. I'll be like, oh, this path is different than I thought, or I don't like it. Maybe I just decide I don't want that goal anymore, or I decide the sacrifices are no longer worth it, and I just change gears. I change goals. But in our society, people tend to view that as kind of lazy, flaky. Like, I feel like a quitter, and being a quitter is a bad thing. Like, that's something that's railed against in our society. Like, oh, man, you don't want to be a quitter. It's the worst thing you can be called. And so that sucks. Because the reality is, I have no real specific goals at the moment. Most people are shocked to find that out. You know, I have been a business owner for the last 15 years. I own several businesses. I work out and I'm always doing shit, but I'm not really quote unquote ambitious in that way. You know, I don't have a specific goal at this moment. I have no big financial goal. Like none of that. Like I'm a fairly easygoing guy. I'm not high strung. I'm not neurotic. I'm certainly not like the quote unquote type A people that, or the type A personality that, you know, some people tend to hide behind. I'm not a perfectionist. And even when I do have goals, they're more of just like a general suggestion. They're just a direction I'm going towards. It's more a general suggestion than something that I just like cling tightly to and, you know, must accomplish at all costs. So does this mean I'm not ambitious? Just because I have no real goals, does that mean I lack ambition? Is it possible to be ambitious without goals? And that's the opposing idea I'd like to explore today, because while I may not be goal-oriented necessarily, I would consider myself probably on the highest end of the spectrum when it comes to being driven. But my drive comes from a different place. My drive doesn't come from a specific achievement. My drive, it comes from seeing what I'm capable of. See, it started out as a fear, and now it's a drive, but it started out as a fear of dying with gas still left in the tank. It started off as a fear of dying without ever really finding out what I'm capable of, without ever really exploring my own potential. And over time, that fear turned me to action, which now created a vision, which now creates an internal drive that keeps me going. So I'm driven to see what I'm capable of. I'm driven to just continue to learn and grow and expand in multiple areas of my life. I'm driven to hone and develop the talents I've been given. I'm driven to make the most out of the opportunities that come my way, because they are all gifts, and I want to honor those gifts by making the most out of those opportunities, not squandering them. I want to continue to just develop myself and my own talents and my own abilities to, you know, provide value to the world so that opportunities continue to flow my way. Even opportunities I can never even conceive of. I can never even imagine them, and they just show up on my doorstep. I'm driven to surround myself with people who force me to level up because ultimately, like I said before, it all adds up to one thing, which is I am driven to use as much of my life as possible in pursuit of my potential so I can come as close as possible to seeing what my potential might be. I mean, that's ambition, isn't it? To live your entire life in pursuit of your potential? Like, isn't that ambitious? It's just different than a goal because it's all internally based. So a goal is external. It's entirely focused on what you will accomplish, and it's you'll get external validation for it. The world can see it. You built this business, you have this six-pack abs, you live in this nice house. Like, it's all external, right? In the pursuit of your potential, though, it's internal. Like, not everyone's going to see your progress. You know, not every accomplishment is going to be known to the outside world. Most of it's only going to be known to you. And because of that, it takes courage. It takes courage because you're not guaranteed external validation when you pursue your potential. There are no medals for it. You know, there's no celebration of it. It's just continuing to get better and better every single day. And you have to be, you know, courageous enough to know, like, hey, I'm going to put in the work and it might not be ever acknowledged by anybody else. And if you have that, you know, congratulations, because it is harder, but it's infinitely more fulfilling when you can sort of, when you are driven, but you're driven by something internally, because we all desire external validation. But if you can get to a place where you validate yourself first internally, it's very, very freeing from the grips of sort of the society we live in. So it's freeing from the grips of external validation, and you're no longer a slave to it. You no longer have to act in that interest, and you can act entirely on your own interests. Here's where it gets tricky, though. I mean, goals, in the end, they're good because they're measurable. That's what makes them so good. And in life, we often seek clarity, and being able to measure progress against a tangible goal creates clarity. Like, hey, I want to live up to my potential is not a clear goal. It's not. Right. But saying, hey, I want to build a business that's worth $100 million, or I want to bench press 300 pounds. Those are tangible goals. Right. But here's the problem with measuring goals. Oftentimes when we get to measuring goals, we default to more is better, more revenue. If my goal is business oriented, right? I want to get as lean as possible if it's fitness oriented, or get as strong as possible, or run as fast as possible, or like whatever the case is. And it's like, how do I reconcile this with like the need to measure progress and create clarity, but also not defaulting to just like, well, if I'm measuring and I have a scorecard, I guess running up the scorecard is the only way to do it. And here's as best as I can come up with, here's how I try and reconcile that. And it started with the fitness example, and it works out. I think it works in most other areas of life too, but it's using ratios. Okay. And here's what I mean by that. Okay, let's look at fitness first, because this is tangible. I'm a quote-unquote fitness guy. Like, this should make sense. When we look at, let's just say, a male physique, right? I'm going to start with males, and I'll talk about how it applies to women as well. But when we look at a male physique, most guys are like, well, bigger is better or leaner is better. It's one of those two directions, right? Depending on what you're trying to do. And so what happens is some guys are like, dude, I want those six-pack abs. I want to see all six bumps. I want to be lean and shredded. I want to see veins everywhere and all this stuff. Great. Great. But here's the problem. To get that lean, you will get that lean, but it actually makes your physique, from a human nature standpoint, it actually makes your physique worse. It actually makes your physique worse. Why? Why is that? Because when our animal brains are just like judging someone, we're evaluating their physique, especially a male physique, or specifically a male physique. The main thing that matters more than anything else is the shoulder to waist ratio, the shoulder to waist ratio. And so what happens is people can overshoot this because they're like, I want to be 5% body fat. And so what happens is that, like, obviously your waist shrinks when you get to 5% body fat, but you have to be in such a massive calorie deficit that you lose a shitload of muscles and your shoulders shrink at a more rapid pace than your waist, and it fucks your ratio up. So you end up looking scrawny. So you're scrawny with abs. I see this more often than not, right? I see this more often than not. And of course, we see it all on the other end of the spectrum too, with guys who want to be big and strong. They're like, oh dude, I want to be 220 pounds. So like, look, I'm 220 pounds. I must be fucking jacked. And you're like, no, bro, you're 220 pounds with a 40 inch waist. Like you look like you used to work out is what you look like. You know what I mean? And so what a ratio allows you to do is make sure you've got the right ingredients dialed in the right proportion. So it's like, yeah, dude, now if I know what shoulder to waist ratio I'm going for, which by the way, the Grecian ideal, like Michelangelo's David and all that stuff, the golden ratio that our eye is drawn to is 1.6. My shoulder should be 1.6 times as big as my waist. And so I know that if I'm gaining weight, but my, you know, 'cause I'm bulking up, let's just say, so my shoulders are getting thicker at a more rapid rate than my waist is getting bigger. And like, life is good. We can move it over to the women. Like the golden ratio kind of holds up for women, that 1.6 ratio, sort of. It's close. It's actually close to 1.5 with how people tend to perceive it as hips to waist, right? So if you're like, oh my gosh, I'm gaining weight. I don't know what to do. I'm supposed to be losing weight. I'm in a cut, right? But your hips are increasing because you're getting muscular and your waist is staying the same. Like, dude, that's a good thing. Like, that's a good thing. Your ratio is going in the right direction. Now, do we need to get completely hung up on this? Like, no, dude. I mean, it's an example and it provides direction. But what I'm trying to point out is that you can dial shit in. And here's another tangible example is business. Everybody wants to grow their business, right? Everybody wants to grow their business. But sometimes if you're not paying attention to the ratios, growing your business will fuck you up. You know, oh, dude, top line revenue is all that matter. Okay. Like you want to grow a $100 million business? Guess what, dude? You may not have any time for your family. You know, so everybody's like, well, I want to make more money, but do they really want to make more money? Or do they want to increase the ratio of dollars earned to hours worked? Because if I told you right now, like, dude, I don't know how to grow your business. If you came to me, let's say, and I'm like, bro, I don't know how to grow your business, but what I can do is streamline everything for you so you work half as much, so you make the same amount of money, but you've reclaimed 20 or more hours per week, you might be interested in that ratio more than increasing the top line revenue as well as increasing the amount of work you want to do, which keeps your ratio the same or makes it worse. And so, you know, the same could be said for like employees. You know, managing employees is a difficult thing. So if we were like, hey, let's grow your business to 100 million, and all of a sudden you're like, yeah, but I need 500 employees for that. Like, bro, wouldn't you rather, you know, what if you grew a $30 million business, you were leveraging 20 employees for that? Wouldn't you like that ratio a little bit more? Isn't there a little bit less risk and likely a lot more profit there? And so this concept of ratios is, I think, keeps the goal thing in check because it's measurable for starters. So that's good. I don't want you to cling to anything because, you know, rigidity in thinking is never good. But it gives you sort of the clarity of measurable goals, but it keeps it in check in terms of it doesn't let those goals run out of hand. Like, oh, more is good, so even more must be better. Like it kind of keeps that in check. But it's like, how can you do this for your life? You know, how can you like, or I should tell you that I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, but I will tell you how I am sort of reconciling this with my life and the decision-making I use, the ratio I use to determine if my life is going in the right direction or not. And I just think about this. At the end of my life, I guess now, but also at the end of my life, I want to maximize the ratio of cool shit to regrets. That's it. You know, so cool shit is realizing, you know, my potential, which means honing talents, improving skills, leaning into the gifts I've been given to maximize them. Cool shit means experiences that I've had. Like cool, unique experiences that like, essentially if I can tell you a cool story about something, like that's an experience worth having to me, right? Relationships built. So have I just spent time with awesome people? Have I spent time with people who enrich my soul? Have I spent time with people who make me smarter? Have I spent time with people who made me see value in myself? Have I spent time with people who helped me see bigger in the world, who helped me feel more connected, right? That's cool shit. Cool shit is the number of shots I've taken. I don't even care about winning. That's what goal orientation is about. I care about taking the shots. Because if all you ever care about is winning, you'll take less shots because you're scared to lose. So for me, when I'm talking about maximizing my cool shit ratio, I'm talking about taking shots, taking big swings at things in life and letting the chips fall where they may. Because at the end of my life, I'm never going to regret trying for something that was meaningful for me in the moment. But I'll always regret, I think, is it Wayne Gretzky? I'll always regret the shots that I haven't taken. And so it's like, if I can define what's the cool shit to me, you know, what's really important to me. And again, it's for me, it's like personal growth. So when I'm faced with a decision, you know what I mean? Oh, hey, I can do X, Y, and Z. I can take this class. I can go to this mastermind. I can, you know, collaborate with this person on a business. I'm like, cool. Does that help me maximize potential? Is that an experience I'm going to love regardless of the outcome? I'm just going to love the experience. Is it going to help me nurture or foster an important relationship? Then it's a shot worth taking, you know? And all I'm trying to do with my life is put more stuff in that column, put more stuff in the cool shit column, and minimize the amount of regrets I have. And the regrets I have, honestly, man, and this is where I think a lot of people get fucked up. It's where I got fucked up for a long time. You think you're going to regret failing. You think you're going to regret swinging and missing. Okay. You think you're going to regret looking dumb. You think you're going to regret not winning. You think you're going to regret losing, right? But I'm going to tell you right now, the only thing I regret in my life, the only thing I regret in my life right now is thinking too small at times. And because of that, not taking a shot at something I could have taken a shot at. Like, that's it. You know, I've never regretted trying. Every time you step into the arena, you can win, which is awesome, thrilling, obviously, or you can lose, which kind of sucks, to be honest with you. But what you won't do is regret it. Now, when you sit on the sidelines because you're afraid to lose, yeah, you're right. You are protecting yourself from failure, but you are eliminating yourself from victory, and you are almost definitely ensuring that you have regret down the road for not getting into an arena that you know is valuable to you. So that's how I reconcile that. Ambition, man. Does it mean you're Mr. Type A corporate America maximizing everything? I don't know. Maybe. But I can tell you this. If you are not specifically goal-oriented, you know, you don't work on SMART goals, which is specific, measurable, actionable, something, and timely. Yeah, I don't operate that way. If you don't operate that way, that's cool, man, because I got another way of looking at ambition, which is what I laid out for you today. There's nothing wrong with you. You are likely still a driven person. You just have to find what drives you. And then when you find what drives you, find a way to keep score so that your ratio is always on point, with always stacking one side of the ratio with all the stuff that's meaningful for you and minimizing the other side of the ratio, which is anything you're going to regret down the road. And if you do that, you know, here's the cool thing about ratios too. They are about what takes place over a longer time frame. So just because you're out of whack now, just because you're like, damn it, I've taken some regrets, dude, or I've taken some losses, or I'm having some regrets, dude, it's all good. It's all good. Just do the next thing that's meaningful for you and the next thing after that. And over time, even if you have a few regrets along the way, because we all will, it's not about a snapshot. It's not about focusing on the times that you missed or you didn't take a shot or you missed an opportunity or the times you regret. It's not about that. It's about over time, have you generally speaking, it's a framework, it's a guiding principle. Do you generally do more cool shit? Do you generally take the shot? Do you generally step in the arena? And do you do that more than sit on the sidelines and miss your opportunities? And if you do that, I mean, well, actually, I can't make any promises for you, but I'll tell you this. I do that and it allows me to live my life with no regrets and in a place of near complete alignment. And it makes decision-making possibly easier for me than it's ever been, because I know where I'm going. I know what I'm about and I know what I'm trying to do, which is maximize my cool shit ratio. So hopefully that's helpful. If this was helpful for you, dude, I mean, this was very not fitness related, but if you want some fitness stuff, dude, you can check out thegoodshit.info. From there, you know, my socials are linked up where, again, I'm, I don't know, sometimes I talk about fitness probably half the time. And then Substack as well, which is where I write articles and so forth. And that's mostly fitness related, but it's always going to tie in not just the fitness, it's like the fitness and the thought process behind it. I hate mindset. I think that's a dumb word. Or maybe it's not a dumb word. It's just overused, right? But it's like, I want you to not only think about fitness, but it's like, how is this a vehicle to expand my entire life, to make my entire life better? How can it serve a bigger and better life? And that's sort of the way I look at shit. And if that jibes, then you can go to Substack and read some articles. All right. That's what I got for you. Hope you're having an awesome day, and I'll talk to you soon.